Hey, gamers, trainers, Pokemon. Thanks for listening to another episode of Pokemon's Health. Pokemon meets men's mental health. I'm your host, Roy Flash Gordon. I'm here with our guest today, Justin Augusto. Justin, how you doing?
Hello, hello. I'm doing fine.
Hey man, good to have you on. Everyone, remember to give the podcast a follow, share with someone who you think it might be valuable to, and we'll go ahead and get into it with Justin. Justin, just so folks can get to know you a little bit, how old are you? What do you do for a living, and where are you from?
I am 29 years old. I was born in North New Jersey. And currently, I live in New York, and I am actually a stay-at-home dad.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Pokemon a little bit to get started. How did you get into it? Are you a Gen 1 person? What was your first game? And how do you currently engage with the community?
Yeah, so actually, I guess I accidentally got involved into it, right? My uncle got bought me Pokemon Crystal. That was the very first game that I ever owned, and I fell in love with it. And then I had, I guess, a little gap off Pokemon, you know, from the time that I had Crystal until like maybe like what 2010-ish, give or take. And then yeah, and then I came back into it, and then I started playing it heavy. You know, the RPGs, the trading card game. I started collecting, but now lately, recently, for like the past 2 years or so, I've been playing competitive Pokemon Unite, a lot, and I've been pretty successful at it. I'm not gonna
Yeah.
lie.
Yeah, dude, your videos are like always good, and it's with a character that me personally, when I play Unite, like Greninja, I can't even keep it alive, but you're like doing crazy stuff with it. So you're definitely super dope at it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm the rare breed that's actually good with Greninja.
Yeah. Well, how did you like find yourself leaning towards Pokemon Unite as opposed to the main series games? Because that's, you know, almost atypical for a lot of people. Like, if we start with the main series games, a lot of people just stay on those. How do you think you started to lean towards Unite?
Yeah, weird. So there's a streaming platform called Trovo, right? So I used to stream, right? I'm a former professional Call of Duty player, right? I played for 2 years, and I used to stream on Twitch and Trovo simultaneously.
Super dope.
And at the time, Trovo was like just starting out, and so one of the things that they actually did was a Pokemon Unite tournament, right? And you know, it was free to play, whatever. Not a tournament, I'm sorry, like a stream kind of event thing where if you stream a certain number of hours with the game, you get a certain amount of money, you know.
Nice.
So, you know, I got involved in that, right? And you know, in the beginning I wasn't very good. I was just curious, you know, I was just playing for the stream hours, right? But then over time, I guess my skill grew.
Yeah.
And then I had people tell me that I was good. So then I started realizing that I was good, and then I started getting involved into it more. You know, I started playing for not, not I currently play for a pro team now,
Oh,
which is
wow.
like what, 3 years later. So it's insane. Like I didn't think I was gonna get to this point. I thought it was just a game that I was gonna play for fun. I was just
Yeah.
curious.
That's super dope, man. That's super dope. Yeah, Unite is I really love how Pokemon's, you know, done everything they could to give us like every type of game possible. It's crazy. And definitely like gives us options to see, you know, Pokemon that, you know, we're not using in Scarlet Violet, for example, killing it on screen in Unite, which is way different, you know what I mean? It's super fun.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Yeah, well, tell me a little bit about well, here's the question. Here's the question. I always like to frame it with no judgment, and just based on like what you've gone through and learned either from society or in the household, what do you think a man is quote unquote supposed to be?
Be protector.
Protector.
Yeah, I
Beautiful.
think the woman is supposed to be the nurturer, and the man is supposed to be the protector.
It's
I think
beautiful.
those roles are supposed to be set in stone.
Yeah. You think
Yeah.
they're supposed to be set in stone? Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So people have that little misconception where I stay home, like I'm a stay-at-home dad, right? So I'm not making money, I'm not the breadwinner, so I'm not doing anything for my family, right? No, that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be protecting my kids, right? That's my main thing. Because I mean, honestly, well, isn't it scientifically proven that men are stronger than woman, right? Obviously. Now, I'm not saying like it's going to come down to fighting or anything, but I'm saying protecting in the sense like their emotions, their physical ability, stuff like that. Yeah, that's a big thing to me. I'm tw I'm 29. I feel like I grew up quick. Like I'm older than my age says. So yeah.
No, I get that. I get that. I think that you make some great points. I like here's how I think about it, and it's like our natural kind of energy, right? You come into the world and your energy is your energy, and guys mostly for the most part is not a in set in stone necessarily based on how different people live lives and such, but in general, yes, I think the masculine beings are going to be like equipped to protect. And that's like a super important thing, and how we get to do that. And I love that you said it's not just coming down to fight and physical protection, but protecting their emotional space, protecting the environment in which they're growing. I think that's extremely important. I think it's definitely something that's a great way to identify with your manhood. And I definitely see also. I love that you're a stay-at-home father, and it's like definitely right, different. Not the typical situation, right? But you get to play a role, and I think this goes to like as men are great at protecting, they also can learn to be good at nurturing, right? It may not be the natural thing, but based on however you're going and the time you're spending with your kids and how maybe what you've learned from your wife and partner, like in nurturing, you get to learn how to be a better nurturer and grow that side of yourself.
Another thing that a lot of, I feel like in today's society, a lot of couples and relationships fail to understand is like, I love this quote that people say where it's supposed to be a 50-50 relationship, right? Where in my mindset and my wife's mindset, it's supposed to be 100-100, right?
Ooh, this
Yeah,
man. There we go.
meaning you're supposed to be giving everything you can with each other, husband and wife, obviously, and then obviously in the parental aspect of it, And again, it's not, I can't say it's easy, right? But I'm also going to say it's not hard. Honestly, like this for me personally, I feel like this has been the easiest job of my life, being a parent to kids, right? It's just you have to, I don't know how to explain it. You have to kind of give in to their kind of emotions and mindset, I guess, even though
Absolutely.
my oldest is 4 years old, but it's kind of hard to explain.
No, I get I think I think I get what you're saying. It's like I'd imagine I'm not a father yet, but I want to be one day. And what I imagine it is being like is like this source of like kind of motivation, however you're going to serve them, this motivation and even this intuition to kind of learn and know what they need and do what the fuck you got to do to give them what they need to be okay. And like, I hear from only having myself to take care of, I think I got to imagine it's different when you've got other things to take care of. Like that's a different level of fuel, right?
That selflessness that you have to provide is actually really tough.
Yeah, I
You have to
bet.
give up a lot, but I mean, it's again, in the end, it's worth it in the long run.
You sound like a great father, man. Can I ask if there were any times like, and maybe even before you were a father, or even when you were a father, were there times where you felt like you weren't living up to that standard of what a man is supposed to be?
Oh, 100%. So, when I became a stay-at-home father, right? It was because of COVID. At the time, I was a general manager at Walmart in New Jersey, at a store in Jersey, right?
Got you.
And unfortunately, my wife was a nurse, right? So at the time, her position is obviously way more needed than mine is, right? And we had and we also had our daughter. I believe she was like 1 year old at the time, right? So we had nobody to take care of her, right? So we had, and unfortunately, Walmart wasn't like, giving me like a, I guess, the schedule I needed, because they wanted more of me, because COVID was rocking everything. So one of us had to give up our positions, and she was working way more than I was. She was making more than I was, right? So I stepped away, right? And in my head, in the beginning, I thought it was like a kind of a failure kind of thing, because normally, I guess the commonality or whatever is the woman stays home and the man works, right? So it hit me, right? And I was like, damn, dude, I'm failing as a man, as a father, et cetera. But again, it's not until you're home with those these damn kids where you realize, right? Where you realize that, oh shit, this is still work. Like, yeah, this is still a career. Like, you still have to take this shit serious. It's still hard, right?
Dude, thanks for saying that. I think a lot of guys need to hear that. Like, regardless of who's gonna work, who's gonna stay home, if it's gonna be like, some balance of however you guys slice it, that taking care of the kids is a goddamn job and you have to take it seriously. Big time.
I guess for the men who are, I guess, are struggling to understand that, it's not demasculating at all. I'm telling you straight up, because when if you are the man that works and your wife is the one that stays at home, and she's telling you when you get home, oh my God, it was such a hard day because the kids, put me, through whatever, right? Trust me, it was worse than whatever happened at your job that day. I'm telling you that straight up, like from experience. I never had, like all the days that I've worked in my entire life were never as tough as, staying at home with the kids, because there are days where it is difficult. I mean, obviously, like I said earlier, it's not easy, but it's not hard. But I don't mean it like.
What do you think the hardest part is?
They're not understanding of life. I don't know how
Yeah,
else to phrase that.
I get you.
Yeah, like
I think that
when they
land.
have questions and emotions about certain things, but you have to be able to phrase it and word it the way they understand,
You got to
I think
learn a
that's
whole
the
nother
toughest thing.
language.
Yes, exactly. That's where that you have to be a part of their mindset comes in. That's I that I think is the toughest thing to learn. And I'll teach you that in
They
school,
don't teach
unfortunately.
that
So
in school. No way. No way. That's awesome, man. You sound like, again, you sound like a really great father and a dedicated father. And I think that's going to make a world of difference. Especially like me personally, I didn't have a father in the home, right? And I think that's a story for a lot of folks, right? And
Yes.
I think guys of this generation are doing a little bit better job. But I think, guys like you sound like the next level of that, right? They're just very devoted to the job and like, really wanting even to come on this podcast to let guys know, like, hey, you guys need to hear this. Like, it's a job and respect that your wife is doing it if she's the one doing it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's very
Yeah. So
cool.
I think that a child needs both parents, right? I think they need the mother and the father 100% throughout their life, right? And as a kid, it's funny because people say my father wasn't around, right? Visually, my father wasn't around, but they don't know the true story. My father wasn't around because, unfortunately, my mother was very, I guess without sounding rude or anything, but she was very toxic. She found ways to prevent my father from being a part of our life, right? But I think that's why myself and my younger brother were great fathers, is because my father never gave up. Like he in like for like 10 to 15 years or whatever it was, he just kept pursuing us, right? And then when he finally had us, he like showed us the way of, life, I guess, with women and with children, which I think is highly important. But again, it's both ways. You need the mother too. Otherwise, you're not gonna, especially as a man.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's beautiful, man. I'm sorry that you had that experience with your mother keeping your father away, but it sounds like, once you did have him, that you got a lot of great time with him and great lessons from him.
Oh, yes, 100%.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Kind of getting to our last topic, just mental health, like mental or emotional health. And I was wondering if you might have had any mental or emotional health struggles at any point that you've had to overcome.
So from the ages 14 to I believe 20, right? For like the 6, 7 year time period, I had bad anger issues. A lot of people don't know this about me, but back in the day, I used to do street fighting as a job, right? In Newark. Yeah. So, this was late nights, 11 p.m., 12 p.m. We would go to this guy. He had a house with a giant backyard, right? Fenced off, barbed wire, everything, right? We had a bunch of people, and I would always be there, trying to make money fighting, right? And it was kind of a way to suppress my anger, right? And honestly, I can't lie, it worked, right? Fighting works, sadly. But you want to do that in a safe environment, obviously. My mental struggle was, I don't think it was my anger issues. I think it was the acceptance of the anger issues, right? Where I wasn't just doing it outside, I was doing it at home. I was lashing out at my father, my brother, mom for no reason, be stupid shit like all the laundry or food or whatever, and then one time it got so severe to a point where I literally punched my entire like fist to forearm through my TV, right? Yeah, I can't even remember what I got mad about. That's how bad it was. Yeah, and my father wasn't home, but then I got scared because I got so angry that I ran away. So my dad got home, and instead of getting mad at me, right, he sent me a text saying, "Listen, I'm not mad at you. I just want you to come home because I want you to be safe. That's it, right?" So when I went home, it took like a week or two to process everything, yada yada yada. But this was when I was like 20. I decided to commit myself to therapy, right? Yeah, so I went for like an entire year to a year and a half of expressing my feelings and everything. And it was like suppressed anger from my childhood, from things that happened in the past and everything. And you know how people say, "Oh, I black out when I go angry." Yeah, that's true, because you don't remember anything when you like lash out and everything happens so quickly, I guess.
Man.
And that's a big mental issue. It's like, because I used to do it every day to everything. I even have right now a tattoo on my tricep. It's the word anger in Japanese kanji lettering. Yeah, because I feel like that's an important part of my life. Because now,
Big time.
because of that anger stage, I feel like now I'm so relaxed and so patient. More so than I was in the past, because now I guess I have that understanding. This is why I said like earlier, where I feel like I grew up so quickly at a young age, because I feel like I committed myself at the right time, right? Like
Totally.
I put myself into a program quickly, right? Instead of waiting for so long, and now I'm prepared, I guess, for life, so to speak. But yeah,
Yeah,
that was
dude.
my issue back in the day.
That's amazing. That's amazing. It's a great story. There's challenges throughout the story, but like incredible that you went from street fighting to, realizing that it was an issue after punching through the TV to seeking help and committing yourself to it. And I just got to reflect, like, man, I'm so glad that you did that work before you had your kids, right? Be able to develop this patience and grow to know yourself in the ways that you need to and what you got to do to take care of yourself so that once they come into your life now you're prepared, like in other ways outside of just, taking care of them, you know what I mean? It's awesome.
I feel like the problem with mental health is always this, it's a thing that not everybody understands, where You don't even know you have a mental health issue at all until either A, like that specific point in time happens, where you like just an example, like you OD or you get arrested, like the wake up call, right? Either the wake up call happens, right? Or somebody points out, like a doctor or something, that you actually do have that, issue. Unfortunately, and I feel like that's a struggle that a lot of people have, is that, they accept that they are the way they are, so they move on and everything without realizing that there is something there that's, affecting them long term.
And you can do something about it most of the
And you
time.
can do something. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Justin, man, I'm glad you learned those lessons.
Yeah.
Kind of come a full circle. How do you think Pokemon has contributed to your happiness?
Yeah, so okay, so the Pokemon Unite, like the competitive scene, right? I'll say, like, I've always been competitive, right? And the competitive scene did attribute to my like anger issues back then. But now that I have an understanding of everything, now it just fuels me. Now it's like a kind of like like it hypes me up kind of thing. Instead of making me upset, like if I lose or win, now I'm good either way. It's just that now it's like more of a this feels amazing, like a rush, like a roller coaster or some shit like that, right?
Totally.
So yeah, Pokemon is obviously like an escape. It's a world that doesn't exist, right? But it's a good way I get to like make friends. I know it sounds weird, but like the Pokemon are friends, and the people in the game are friends. It's a fake world, quote unquote, but still it does help, because it that game does kind of calm you, and that and this applies to like all games. It's not just Pokemon, it could be any game, But yeah, the unrealistic world is just an escape. That's what video games are made for. So
Totally. A nice little
yeah.
escape where you can go and be who you want to be for that day. Whatever game you're playing,
Yeah.
be all these versions of that person, or that
Exactly.
character. It's
You could be
beautiful.
whoever
It's a
you
beautiful
want.
thing. Beautiful, man. Last couple questions. I would like to put them side by side to, really hit the theme, right? First is, what are you most excited about next in Pokemon? And then, if
Daddy,
you
I
knew there
want
was a
to
guy out there
sleep.
struggling, how might you support them? What might you say to them to be supportive of them?
So the first question, the thing that excites me about Pokemon, right? I heard there was a little rumor that Johto games were going to be remade, and if that happens, I'm going to cry, because
Yeah,
that's like,
dude. I go crazy.
that's a big thing. Like I'm going to drop a stack of money for whatever DLCs and full
Hell
games and
yeah.
whatever I have to buy
Hell yeah.
to attain those. Because that like I love Johto is my favorite region by far. Like that would hype me up.
Hell
To the
yeah. I
fullest
really love
extent.
Johto too. I really love
Yeah.
Johto.
Like I would love that. But yeah, and then obviously like the competitive scene right now is ongoing for Pokemon Unite. So that's a big thing. We have a tournament like what, a month or no, not even like 2 or 3 weeks.
Sweet.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so that's obviously keeping me entertained. But yeah, so can I give one more story for the last question?
Yeah, hell yeah, please do.
So, I guess this is going on the record officially, right? So there's actually only, I believe, three people that know this story. There was a point where I was actually going to commit the S word, right? I had a bad anger struggle at the time. I walked to a river in my hometown, right? And I sat there in front of the river. There was like a park bench, right? It was like the middle of the night, and I planned on doing it. I was gonna do it, and so before I was going to, I guess it looked weird in this guy's eyes, right? I don't know why he was walking that late. I don't know what he was doing there. I don't know. So he walked over to me and asked me if I was all right, right? And I said, yeah, I'm all right, right? And the thing he did was he didn't point out why I was suspicious that I was there or what I was doing or anything. No, instead, all he did was just make conversation with me. He just told me about his day at work. That's all he did. This older man that I'd never seen or met before or whatever, right? But clearly he knew that I was struggling, right? He sat next to me. He just talked to me literally for like 20, 30 minutes, give or take it. He worked as a as an accountant or something. He said like something to do with a bank and money, you know, yada yada yada. Just so you get the lay of the land, behind us were apartment buildings, so I assume he lived there. And then across the river was a restaurant and like a highway, right? And the restaurant had a party. So the guy talked to me and everything, and I guess he talked to me to the point where it like vanished from my mind to do that act, you know? Like I completely forgot about it, right? And so this is gonna sound kind of cheesy or whatever, but the song playing at the time was a song called Firestone by Kygo, right? And so basically, right, I know this is not gonna sound like great advice, but I guess for the people, if you see somebody struggling, right, you don't need to point out that kind of stuff. I know some people are like me specifically. I used to get mad at that, you know, like, no, I don't have that issue. So some people just want conversation. Some people just want to talk or listen or feel listened, you know. They want to feel like they want to be had a conversation with. That's what I mean, right? And that gentleman who I've never seen again after that, I don't know if he was like an angel or something, right? Honestly, right? Like he did that. He did that perfectly. Like he just pulled up, talked to me, and then I went home, you know? And to this day, that song is on my playlist every day, you know? But for the people who, I guess, talking is the hardest thing you can do, right? If you're having a mental struggle, right? Listen, you have to talk. Some people don't listen, but some people also don't understand that they have to listen. I don't know if you know what that means, right? Like they can't read the situation. They don't understand that that person is having an issue, right? And then, you
Absolutely.
know, that's an issue from the people who are supposed to be listening. So I guess my advice is that there is always somebody there that will listen.
There
Okay.
is,
There
absolutely.
is always somebody, like no matter what. Like my somebody was my father and eventually obviously my therapist, but my father was that somebody. Even if it takes like 30 people to get to that one person, keep going. Like keep going until you get to that person who listens. Because that one person who listens will change your life forever. I promise you.
Absolutely.
Because now my person who listens is my wife. And now it's like, you know, she listens every day and then I listen to her every day. And now it's like it's just, you know, a good life. That's all.
That's beautiful, man. I'm glad that angel came to you that day. Angel or old man who just hasn't walked around, but he served that role as an angel that day for you. And it's beautiful, man. And thank you so much for sharing your journey. It seems like it's been a powerful one, and you've had support at the right times. So your father, your wife, this man, I'm sure others. It's beautiful to hear a little bit about how you've become who you are today.
I'm proud of myself. I can
You
say
should
that.
be, man. You should be. Beautiful, Justin. Thanks so much for coming on today. I really appreciate you, my man. I hope you have a great rest of the night.
For sure. You too. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All day, man. And that was our guy Justin. Really appreciating his shares today. I will always have just a little extra love for the guys that kind of had the different relationship with their father, one where in Justin's case he had to kind of grow up a good deal of time without him and then learn a lot from him that he got to carry into fatherhood, and even the time that he was without his father being really important to him becoming the father that he is today. So just another shout out to the fathers that have joined me on the podcast here. You guys are doing awesome work, and it's really so impressive to see, and really gives me a lot of hope for the next generation of trainers. And guys, if you appreciated this episode, please go ahead, give it a follow, give it a review. Any little bit of engagement that you can send its way is gonna really do a lot to help it reach the guys that it needs to reach, to give them some inspiration and give them some support as they continue their journey. It is Pokemon Day as I'm recording this, so really great news with Pokemon Legends ZA on the way in 2025. Hope you're excited for that. I'm excited for that. I'm gonna get out of here and go read some more Twitter speculation. I'm looking forward to next week. Talk soon.